Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to thank you all for coming and welcome you here to our service on the eve of Pentecost 16. When the service starts, you will notice that Pastor Dave is not here. He is at home. He's well on the way to recovery. Today was the last day of his antibiotics for his pneumonia. He wanted me to express heartfelt gratitude from both of us for all of the prayers. It's made a difference. We appreciate it. We know we feel it. And he is so grateful for all the prayers and concerns and that have been expressed to him. Big thank you to Pastor Waldemar Gies for literally coming in at the last minute last week. That was so wonderful. Thank you. And for being here tonight. We really appreciate it. Just a few things I wanted to point out about the service. There is a blue insert if you have a bulletin. If not, everything should be on the screen. It does not say it in the bulletin if you have one, but when we come to Amazing Grace, we will sing two verses before the sermon and two verses afterwards. And I think Pastor Gies will mention this again, but we will be having communion inside in the back of the church in the gathering space at the end of the service. And Vomhoffs will help you direct you out there, and you will go to the table that's closest to the bathrooms. I mean, you go to the other table, and that Pastor Gies will bring it over. It's the way we did it last time, but if you have any questions, just ask. I think that's all that I have.
And as I told both Pastor Dave and Julie, we're going to be following Pastor Dave's setup unless suddenly I go wild and fall back into some other rut. But I'm not planning on that, Julie.
Okay.
And I'm glad to join with you in this evening celebration of the 16th Sunday after the Pentecost. Would you please rise as you are able, and we join in that brief order for confession and forgiveness. We gather as we live in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pause. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn is, I Am Trusting You, Lord Jesus.
I am trusting you, Lord Jesus, trusting only you. am trusting you for pardon. At your feet I bow. For your grace and tender mercy, trusting now. I am trusting you to guide me. You alone shall lead. Every day and hour supplying all my need. I am trusting you, Lord Jesus. Never let me fall.
I am trusting you
forever and for all.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison,
Lord have mercy.
Christe eleison,
Christ have mercy.
Kyrie eleison,
Lord have mercy.
And the men sing part one. We sing our hymn of praise.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Heavenly Father, you are slow to anger, and your steadfast love endures forever. We stand in your presence as beggars, completely undeserving of your mercy and grace. Awaken in us such a sense of gratitude that our own lives may reflect your overflowing generosity through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the hearing of the word.
The first lesson tonight is from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 27, and we will read it responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes,
it is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent.
He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me.
And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy.
I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, seek my face.
My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek.
Hide not your face from me.
Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise as we sing the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, you have the word
of eternal life.
Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Speaking to his disciples, our Lord said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the eighth hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he, that is the master, replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We sing the first two verses of our hymn of the day.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found.
was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear,
and grace my fears
relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in the Spirit's consolations through Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I was struck by how many trinities I started noticing in the gospel reading that we have before us. Well, some of them aren't really in there, but I thought back and I also thought alongside the text. And I always think about a triune God. That's the way we normal Orthodox Lutherans talk and the way most of the Orthodox Christians talk. We talk about Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Now, not all think in the same way. I've noticed that quite a few people will agree that there is some God, and many of them stop there. That's not the way Christians talk, though, and certainly not Lutheran Christians. We know about a Creator, but we also know about the Son, the one who redeems us. The first verse I learned from my dad in German went, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And now I feel like Ron Popeil saying, but wait, there's more. Because not all Christians continue. It's so easy to kind of bottom out after we say that. Yes, Jesus died for me. And let things kind of sit. St. Augustine is one of those prominent ones who did that. He's the man who had a faith. He knew of the Creator, he knew of the Redeemer, but he used to pray, God, make me good. And by that, I think he meant holy. God, make me good, but not yet. Because we don't want this pesky holiness screwing up my life. Yes, I know about Creator, and yes, I know about this Jesus who died for me. It's easy to stop there. As Trinitarians, we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we don't stop there. Because the Christ who died on the cross 2,000 years ago for us calls us to follow him. And it's a serious matter about salvation as we do or don't follow. It's so easy for me to think about another Trinity, the King, the Kingdom, you know, the geography and the land, but then the Kingdom, which really is the people of the King. Just like churches don't have to do fundamentally with architecture, they have to do with the people who are sitting in the pews or chairs and stand up and sing and gather and go out and gather again. The people of the king is the fundamental focus, not just who the king is and not just what arena the king governs. That idea of king and the kingdom is fundamental to what we're talking about in our gospel. And there's yet another trinity. It's not really a trinity, but a trio. Because we know the word, don't we? Just like St. Augustine knew the word, knew the God and the word of the God and what God's will was. And boy, his mom, Monica, used to pray intently for him because she knew that even though his head said, I believe, the rest of him just didn't walk the walk. There is the God and God's word and God's will. There is the talking the talk, which is, well, that may have its problems. And there is the walking of the walk. God's will kind of hurts us. It's as we read about in Philippians 1:28 that it has to do with salvation and destruction. And somehow we'd rather not talk about destruction. And that's the other side of the coin. Blessed is the man or woman who walks in the counsel of the godly, who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Blessed and not blessed. Salvation and not saved. Monica, St. Augustine's mom, knew that you can't talk about heaven and live like hell and then expect a really good outcome. The God who gives us Jesus calls us into the life of Christ, and we're immensely on the hook. As we walk through this story that Jesus tells us today, we start dealing with a landowner who doesn't use his foreman, doesn't use the steward to do the hiring. He has dirty hands. He's out there dealing with sweaty people and getting the laborers in on the job. He's hiring, and it's a typical day's wage, a denarius. Today, show of hands, would you talk about $12 an hour as a day's sort of a wage? $12 is the first choice. Any hands? $15? There's some places that have 15, or anybody hiring for even more? Well, obviously with $12 a day, and that's what a denarius I equate to, it's not really the one-for-one correspondence, but it's the meaning of the unit of coinage. Would mean $150 a week, be $180 a week if you believed in that $15 an hour thing. And boy, if somebody is digging me trenches all day, I'd be willing to pay the 15. And the hours, thank God. Our day today was a little less than 12 hours and 18 minutes. But their hour was simply sunrise to sunset divided up into 12 parts. So come wintertime, an eight-hour day was kind of short. And at sunrise, the master of the house is out working. At the third hour, the sixth, the ninth hour, he's hiring people, and he's crazy. 1 hour left before sunset. And he tells people to go out, and I'll do right by you. But the point of Jesus' story is not about the coinage, is not about how ours worked in the ancient world. Nor is it about this really strange master who has his foreman start with the Johnny-come-latelys, the 11th hour people, and give him a whole day's wage. Of course, everybody is looking around saying, well, I clocked in 12 sweaty hours, and I deserve, I'm going to get. That doesn't happen. That foreman follows his master's orders, and the master, this master of the house, shells out the same amount for everybody. Now, you notice there was expectation. Have you noticed that we humans have greed in our hearts? And when I don't get what I think I deserve, have you noticed that there's often a grumble in the mouth? And that master of the house, about whom the king is being described, his description applies to the king. He says, who's in charge? Can't I use what belongs to me how I want it? Do you want to fight about my generosity? Gratitude is not an automatic reflex for many of us. When we look over, we want what the neighbor has. Typically, you know about two dogs. When one dog sees the other with a bigger bone, guess what? Maybe even with a littler bone. I want both, many dogs act, and many humans act. Just so, Jesus says in another trilogy, the last will be first, and the first are going to be paid last. And it's kind of a disgusting trilogy because they get the same. But there's yet more as I listen, a certain silence. Now, the people who were hired were standing around, and frankly, I think some of those people waiting around in the third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, and 11th hour, they were thinking about their growling bellies and how they'd buy bread for that day. And I think the people who were standing around weren't playing solitaire or pinochle. I think they were standing around and starting to worry about their families. And later, when everybody gets paid the same, there was unhappiness and grumbling. But what about the people who never did work? Because the last trilogy includes the word lost. The lost who didn't get out there and get to work. And that was heavy on the hearts of the Christian church to whom Jesus was speaking through Matthew. Proclaim to every people, tongue, and nation that God is light. And he does not want one soul to perish lost in shades of night. I like that hymn, publish glad tidings. And part of the content of the good tidings is not just that Jesus Christ died for you, so go in peace, serve the Lord, thanks be to God. But that Jesus Christ died for you, and one, he calls you to follow, and two, he calls you to invite. Because the voice of the master of the house is sometimes spoken through you and me. Just as it was done through that foreman at the end of this parable. And it is our task to invite, to invite, invite people to Facebook. Invite people. Tell them we do have a pastor and he's getting healthier. Call him next week, later, or call me if you want. But to invite people into this walking that we walk, into this faith we share, into this love of the Christ who first loved us. Amid all of these different trinities, what matters is that it is crucial. It is a matter, like I said, Philippians 1:28 says, it is a matter of destruction and salvation, this gospel, this good news, this call to work in the vineyard. And we want others working with us, even if they come later. And we get salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ, to whom alone be all honor and glory, now and forever, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. We join in our verses 3 and 4 of the hymn of the day. Please remain seated.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
Please rise as you are able and join in our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for our prayer.
Let us approach the throne of grace on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Thank you, Father, for calling us early, midday, and late in life to be your disciples and workers in your kingdom's vineyard. Thank you for seeking us to do your work even when nobody else thinks we're good enough to amount to anything. Give us grace to hear your call and strength to do your will. Thank you for the wages of everlasting life and salvation, and for your pleasure in us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help the people of this congregation to stand firm together of one spirit, striving to proclaim the gospel by words and deeds. Make us willing to work at whatever tasks pleases you and draws others closer to you. Make us glad when latecomers join us in our labors, knowing that your grace has drawn them to serve you, even as it drew us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be the safe shelter and solid rock to everyone in times of trouble. especially those we name before you. We pray for those who are battling illness and sickness. We pray that you watch over them, strengthen them, and bring them through their trials. We also pray for your blessings and comfort for those who are mourning losses in their family. We pray that you will show them your strength and lift them up. We pray also for all those who have been affected or are suffering from the fires in the West and other places. We pray that you'll protect them, comfort them, and strengthen them. We pray for those we name before you now in our hearts or out loud.
Candidates for elections. Our federal, state, and local leaders. Law enforcement officers, firefighters, people serving under arms.
Lift them high above the things that assail them and be the strength of their life. Give patience and compassion to all who care for them, especially those whose work is long, hard, and thankless. Restore them to the joy of fellowship with those who love them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For our Pastor Dave and Julie and the rest of their family, for Pastor Dave's continued healing, and for new delight in daily life. All this we ask, and whatever else you see that we need, we ask that you grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people say,
Amen.
We will be moving to the Holy Communion, and distribution will be at the end, after I tell you to go in peace. You're invited to go in peace and receive Jesus' body and blood in the narthex there in the entryway. It is for people who are baptized into the Trinitarian God, who receive Jesus' body and blood, and in the bread and the wine, rejoice in salvation. In addition, as you greet people, I've started using that French prayer posture you see in pretzels, where I kind of like that. That keeps my hands from going out, and that's hard for a German background person. Finally, the offering. There is that usual basket in the back. I invite you, as you are able, to rise as we move to the Holy Communion portion of our liturgy. Oh, thank you. I need coaching. While you're standing, let's join in the communion songs.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. Warm and changeless.
We gather to remember. Remember this Jesus Christ who brings us salvation and gathers us into his salvation. As we pray, Holy God, our bread of life, our table, and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup after he had given thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the eternal and everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. You've heard the invitation of our Lord for you to receive him in bread and wine, his body and blood, as you depart the church later. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
We join in the sending canticle, Thankful Hearts.
Thankful hearts and voices raise, tell everyone what God has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and bear Christ's holy name. Send us with your promises, O God, and lead us forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia.
Go in peace, receiving our Lord as you go out, and serve that Lord.
Thanks be to God.